Saga Egmont presents The Seer of Midgard by A.M. Vidsu Olsen. Translated by Sinead Quirky Kongoskull and read by Kristin Atherton.
I remember the Jotnar, born in days of yore. They nourished me in times long past. 9 worlds I recall, 9 Völva, and the Tree of Life, concealed beneath the earth. Völuspá, the Prophecy of the Völva.
Prologue. Astis feels the child kick again, then a weight, a pressure against the earth, like a pull from Yggdrasil's roots. The seed in her womb has been like a wolf cub for many months, unruly and strong. Now the little one wants out. She can feel it. It is time. Outside, snow is falling. The wind has started to rise, and the gusts make the wooden door creak. But the wind does not get in. She has sealed the hut carefully all autumn. Then she hears it, first as a disquiet in the air, an eddying herd of Alva, elves, she manages to think, before the sound becomes so real that she understands the threat. There is no time to waste. She has never hesitated, nor does she now. She grabs a fur cape and a knife, rushes out into the evening darkness, and begins to run. There are shouts. Echoes, screams. Astis runs past cottages, twisting around men with weapons. She has to get out of the village and sets off towards the forest edge. She senses fire behind her, its crackling and flames, and she hears battle cries and blades meet. An arrow whizzes past her head, but she neither screams nor looks back. To survive, she must act purposefully without doubt or emotion. That she has always known. In a moment of danger, there is no place for elvish dreams. The snow has thickened. It is a cold, dense whistling, like a puff of air from Niflheim. But it is an advantage. The swirling snowflakes provide shelter from enemy eyes. And she thanks the falling snow when she can finally run in among the spruces. The shouts behind her are fainter and of a different character. There are fewer roaring men now, and more screaming women. She must go deeper into the forest, run until she can no longer hear the fight. A pain stabs through her. It is like ice and fire, like the waters of creation in Gnungagap's abyss, now running down her legs. And she doubles over and drops to all fours. The snow is deep. Her hands are buried in it and becoming far too cold. But she cannot get up yet. She moans in pain. Her body is tense like the bow of the enemy, and she can still hear them in the distance. She knows she must get up and carry on. She can't birth the babe here. If she does, they will both die. But she has several contractions and her waters are broken. She does not have long to find suitable bedding. As the pain subsides, Astis gets up laboriously. She blows warm breath on her hands and pulls the fur cape closer around her body. It is sewn from many small foxskins, and it has served her well. The snow weighs on the branches of the pine trees. The snowfall seems hushed inside the forest. The wind whistles over the treetops, but not down on the forest floor, and she takes heavy, creaking steps in the deep snow. Cold flakes land on her eyelashes and melt on her cheeks. There is a shelter by the brook. It is used by the fishermen, and in daylight, she would have no trouble finding it. But the darkness is filled with flickering flakes, and the night sky shows no moon or stars to lead the way. She wonders why the ancient warriors and...